Yeah, if he can stay in the league for a while and just have like longevity stats to back up his resume, like Vince Carter, I feel like he can make it. Welcome back to the Intentionally Foul Podcast, where nothing in sports is off limits and everything is out of bounds. Today, we have our numbers series again. This time, it's 51 through 75. Along with that, we have a new series of what-ifs where you can submit certain what-if questions about sports and we'll answer them. And finally, we have another series where we take two characters from movies, or more than two, and then compare them to athletes, present or past. So, don't forget to leave a review for us on Apple Podcasts and subscribe. Jacob, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm tired as fuck, but hey, it's podcast time and I'm ready to go.
Yeah, same here, man. It was a crazy day in the NFL yesterday.
Yeah, dude, all those injuries and everything, like, I hope they heal up fast.
Yeah, the Giants, they're fucked.
Yeah, and without Saquon, I feel bad for the 49ers too. No Bosa and Garoppolo out for a few weeks now, and Kittle's injured. Like,
yeah. It's the NFC representative in the Super Bowl curse. Nobody in the NFC ever makes it back. Yeah. You know, something bad always happens. But where do you want to start off today?
Let's start with the what ifs.
Okay. So,
let's start with D Rose.
Yeah. The biggest what if we got, or the most popular what if question we got, was what if D Rose never got hurt? And I think about this question at least four times a day, you know, and there's all these great scenarios that can go along with it. But what do we really think would happen? Well, he got hurt in 2012 against the Sixers. He should have been out of the game, but Tom Thibodeau just kept him in. I don't know. They had a lead. But I think the Bulls still, you know, go on to win the series because, I mean, they did without him. As far as do they beat the Heat later in the playoffs, that's another huge question.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Sixers actually beat the Bulls in the first round. They won 4-2. I think, like, if they had D-Rose, because we all know, like, he dealt with injuries, you know, like, even, like, after the ACL. Like, he had, like, a meniscus problem, too. And, like, from the period of, like, 2013 to, like, 2018 when he signs with the Timberwolves, that's, like, the most interesting. Like, how successful could he actually have been? I mean, just think about the core that he had during that Bulls period. Like, he had Taj, you know, Joakim Noah, Dang, Boozer, Rip Hamilton, a young Rip Hamilton, you know, Kyle Korver, and a young Jimmy Butler. Like, fuck, man. I know those names now are kind of like memes, but at that time, that Bulls was the most sought-after team in the Eastern Conference.
Right. I don't know if they would, you know, make it to the finals or not. I could see it. I could see it being close too, because when they were playing the Heat during D Rose's MVP year and they lost in the playoffs then, I mean, the Heat were better the next year because they had that crushing finals loss against the Mavericks. But I still don't think the Heat would have for sure won the following year if the Bulls were just as healthy as before.
Yeah. You know? I think, honestly, I think that the Bulls could have won the finals in 2012. They were like that. They were so cohesive where, like, they could have beaten the big three.
Yeah. And I know the big three, like, the names mean a little more now, but even back then it was still good. And as good as they were, I mean, they were still young.
Yeah.
First time in the finals, like, I don't know. It wouldn't have been just in OKC's favor entirely. I think the Bulls would have been the favorite.
Yeah, probably. I mean, because you think KD, Harden, and Westbrook, they're all, like, pretty young at the time. Yeah, I don't know. They didn't really have much, like, behind those guys. So I feel like the Bulls would have had it. They had the depth, and they have the chemistry.
Yeah, I can see that. As far as Derrick Rose's career, I don't think he still would have been a beast, like, to this day, if he never got hurt. I mean, it would have ran out eventually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that he adjusted his game really well since the injury and, you know, made the best out of a bad situation. But as far as, like, prime D Rose, how much longer would that have gone on? I say like 2.5 years.
Yeah, I mean he was pretty explosive, like probably one of the most explosive guards I've ever seen. Like comparison to like Zach LaVine and Russell Westbrook, and I feel like he would have maybe won one or two more, or he probably would have won one MVP. And he probably would have stayed explosive until 2018. And I don't think he would have moved around to as many teams, because the only reason he moved around to so many teams is because he couldn't, you know, produce for each team. Otherwise, they would have wanted him to stay there longer.
Yeah. And he's actually on one of the best contracts right now in the NBA, in my opinion.
Yeah,
he's
with the Pistons.
Yeah, he's playing for chips and pennies. And he should have been a Sixth Man of the Year candidate a few times over his career, since he's moved around a little bit. But I mean, the Hall of Famer question would have been a no-brainer if he never got injured, for sure. I still think some people are on the edge about it today, but that wouldn't even be a conversation if he stuck around in his prime for a couple more years.
Yeah, I still feel like he deserves it. Not necessarily a first ballot, but I feel like he does deserve it, like in like 2 or 3 years after he's eligible.
Yeah, if he can stay in the league for a while and just have like longevity stats to back up his resume, like Vince Carter, I feel like he can make it.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Yeah, so next question we got. What if Drew Bledsoe never got hurt?
Yeah, this was submitted by Pacey Harms, 1824. I mean, okay, a little background. Drew Bledsoe was like by far the Patriots starter, no question. And then in the second game of the 2001 season against the Jets, he gets hit right in the chest. And yeah, it did not look good. Apparently, he suffered a sheared blood vessel in his chest, and it almost killed him. So, pretty nuts.
Yeah, the saying goes, you don't lose your job to injuries, but he literally did.
Yeah, and I mean, literally, that offseason before, he signed what was big money at the time, 10 years, $103 million. Obviously, that doesn't compare to Mahomes' new contract, but at the time, that was the highest contract that was ever signed in the NFL.
Yeah, that's why this was such a surprise, because that before that season, he got that huge contract, and I looked up what he did to kind of like deserve that the year before, and it wasn't anything too crazy either. I mean, he started every game available. He had 312 completions on like 58%. He had like 3,300 yards, 17 touchdowns, 13 picks, and like a 77 passer rating. Damn. So I'm like, okay, that's pretty not, you know, $100 million worthy of you. I think despite the contract, what he was doing, you know, when Brady wasn't out there and what Brady was doing when he wasn't out there, it would have happened anyway. Like, he would have been replaced, but it just wouldn't have happened as soon.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they still gave him a shot later in that playoff run where he stepped in, and it was literally just like, okay, Brady or Bledsoe. And I think the deciding factor at that point, right before the Super Bowl, was age.
Yeah.
You know, because Bledsoe, he was retired, you know, a few years after that. He went to the Bills, he went to the Cowboys, jumped around, but he was, you know, he well past his prime at that point, and Brady's just fresh out of college. And you want to get him to have to have Super Bowl experience right off the bat that young. I mean, that's not going to hurt you in any way.
Yeah. Literally the exact same season he took him to Super Bowl and won it.
Yeah.
Like, that's nuts. I feel like, regardless, like, adding on to your points, like, Brady would have taken over for sure. Because, I mean, as a rookie, he started as the fourth string. And before the season even started, he was the backup. So he moved up that much on the depth chart, which is pretty fucking impressive. Especially when people thought he wasn't going to be shit as a six-round pick. And then, like, Brady also throws the short passes. And that's, like, what Belichick's offense, like, MO is. Like, short passes, not that much down the field, like, slow little cuts, and we'll get to their end zone. And Bledsoe was more of, like, the gunslinger. So Brady would have eventually taken over, like, regardless of if Bledsoe stayed with the Patriots for 10 years or not.
Right. And I think if Bledsoe stayed in, and I mean, the Patriots weren't really winning games with him in before he got injured, like that, the start of the season. And there was a really very real possibility they could have dropped to as worse as 1-4 with him still playing, because the schedule at that point was just so hard. So with a 1-4 record, like, what happens there? Does Belichick get fired? Does he retire because nobody wants him? Mm-hmm. You know, like, would that happen? Would they give Brady away? Bledsoe keeps his job. And then everything's changed from that point.
Yeah, I think regardless, if Bledsoe would have stayed and Brady wouldn't have taken over the position, we wouldn't be talking about the Patriots as a dynasty.
No, it'd be like a few rings here and there.
Yeah, I don't even think that if Bledsoe, for that whole 10 years, I don't think the Patriots would have won, like, one Super Bowl.
I don't think they would have. I think that down the road, it would have happened. I mean, like, between then and now, I think it's more likely that, you know, it happens a little later in the 2000s or earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, because we had a lot of great QBs come through. You don't know what offseason moves or trades are going to happen. But yeah. I still think everything besides the quarterback would have been the same, because the system's that good. You know?
Yeah.
I don't think that would have changed.
Yeah.
Next, what if? Oh, this is another huge what if. This is turning into a bigger what if than the D-Rose one recently. But what if the Bears drafted Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah.
Good God, what a botch.
Yeah, this was submitted by our friend over at GoChat, Matt. Yeah, this is probably the biggest what if of our generation.
Well, to sum it up, he wouldn't have a Super Bowl ring yet, in my opinion. I don't think that the tools and weapons on the Bears really compare to what he has on the Chiefs at all.
I mean, I totally agree with that, but, like, think about this. At the time when he was drafted in 2017, the offensive line for the Bears was pretty solid and the defense was pretty solid. Then he moved to 2018. They get in Allen Robinson. Tariq Cohen starts showing up. They have Jordan Howard in the backfield as well. And then they also trade for Khalil Mack. Like, and Eddie Jackson starts playing better. Like, eventually, the front office would start to build around Mahomes. And I feel like the NFC North would probably be the hardest division in the entire league. But I'm also agreeing with you on the fact that Mahomes wouldn't have a ring right now.
Yeah, he would have made a run. He would have had a great performance, gone fairly deep. But I don't think that he makes it. He might have made it to a Super Bowl, but I don't think that he would have the ring yet.
Yeah, I feel like they would have done something. Like, obviously, you know, Allen Robinson is good, but they didn't. There's not much depth behind him. Like, they had Taylor Gabriel, but, like, that ain't fucking Tyreek Hill. You know, like, they would eventually find a way to get, like, another big-name wide receiver, because they would be in Super Bowl or bust mode.
Oh, definitely. And with the whole Khalil Mack acquisition, would they have done that out of desperation anyway? Like, even if they got Mahomes, would they have just said, we want Khalil Mack anyway?
And, oh, yeah.
You know, and I think the team is great on both ends of the field at that point. Along with that, I still think it would have happened, because, I mean, the Raiders, it's not like they picked before Mahomes or anything like that. Or,
yeah.
It would have probably happened regardless. But another implication of this is Alex Smith probably doesn't injure his leg if this happens. Because he's on the Chiefs. And then, yeah, I mean, obviously, anyone would start Pat Mahomes over Alex Smith. No disrespect to Alex Smith, but, you know, Pat Mahomes is just that good. Alex Smith would have probably rode it out on the Chiefs as long as possible, because Mahomes is a generational talent. But I don't think the same scenario would have happened where J.J. Watt shatters his leg.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, that's one of the hardest things to tell, like, if injuries would have still occurred. I don't know, man. That's crazy.
Yeah. Who knows? But anyway, the Bears, they botched. And it's pretty clear now, if you missed the Chargers-Chiefs game yesterday, what Pat Mahomes is capable of doing.
Yeah.
All right, next up, we have the movie characters series, and this week we have Doc and Marty.
Yep, Back to the Future.
Yep. So I had a couple picks for this one. The first one is Dennis Rodman for Doc, because he's really old and he's like kind of crazy, but he's pretty smart. Like at what he knows, like I mean, he's a rebounding scientist. Like, he's incredibly smart on defense, rebounding, boxing out, stealing, making plays, and you just wouldn't really expect it because he's just his crazy guy. But the equivalent to Marty there is I picked a guy who's very likable and he's like kind of cool without even trying, and no one gives off that vibe better than I feel like Devin Booker nowadays in the NBA. Okay. And that's my first pairing that I got for this, but that's all I had for that set.
I feel like Dennis Rodman. I had so Dennis Rodman as well as Doc, but Michael Jordan would be Marty, or I just thought of this now, Steve Kerr as Marty. With Dennis Rodman, damn, that's a pretty good grouping.
Yeah. Steve Kerr gives off that vibe for sure.
Yeah. And then I would say JR as Doc and LeBron as Marty during the Cavs years.
Yeah.
Like, especially during the finals.
Yeah. I could see that too. Those are good. My last pairing I had for that is Jerry Jones and Tony Romo.
Okay, who's who?
Okay, so Jerry Jones is just a senile old man, but like, look, buying the Cowboys was very smart of him. He's a very smart businessman, and he's just pretty like out there otherwise. Like, I mean, drafting from a yacht and flexing and shit. Like, he knows what he's doing. And also he looks like a corpse, like Doc Brown did. So you gotta make the comparison there. Next up is Tony Romo, and sometimes Marty McFly is just out there kind of doing his own thing, like aimlessly moving around and shit, but kind of like following Doc no matter like what he says, just because he like trusts him.
Yeah.
And I feel like if you're in Tony Romo's position, like on the Cowboys at the time, you'd want to be best buddies with Jerry Jones. There are tons of photos of them chatting and talking and being buddies and shit.
Yeah.
And I just see such a similarity there. Plus, Tony Romo is a pretty likable guy, you know.
For the most part, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, nowadays, it's a lot better than when he was on the Cowboys, but he's kind of, like, cool without even trying. I get that vibe from him, too.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, even, I have a few other ones, like, KD and Draymond. Like, the only thing that, like, it came to my mind immediately was when Draymond, like, whispered in KD's ear, you know?
Yeah.
That made me think that Draymond would be Doc and KD would be Marty. I just felt like that Doc vibe from like Draymond during that moment. Only. Yeah. It's only during that moment. And then Kobe and Meta World Peace. I think that Meta is a good Doc and Kobe's a good Marty because Meta's fucking crazy. He's a crazy man. He is a little bit older than Kobe. By like 1 or 2 years. It's not by a lot. But like, Meta is crazy. We've all seen what he's done with the Malice in the Palace and shit. And, you know, if you push Doc to the limit, he could probably fight some people. So I'm going to go with that one. And then last one, Tom Brady and Gronk.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, people kind of... Gronk is in such bad shape right now that people think he's a lot older than he actually is. He's still in his early 30s, and Brady's, he's going to turn 44 next year. So, yeah. I mean, that kind of makes sense, too. With the age gap there and just the mentorship.
Yeah.
Yeah. But those are all really good. You got any more?
No, that's about it. Come hashtag prop up on Thrive Fantasy this season. Thrive Fantasy is a daily fantasy sports app for player props. We've downloaded it on our phones, and it's probably one of the smoothest fantasy sports apps we've ever used.
They have eliminated the need to do countless hours of research because they only ask you about the top tier athletes in a respective sport.
For the NFL, you choose 10 out of the 20 player prop options to build your lineup.
In NBA, MLB, PGA, or esports, choose 5 out of the 10 player prop options to build your lineup.
Each prop has a fantasy point total associated with the over or under based on its likelihood to occur.
The more points a selection is worth, the riskier it is.
Rack up the most points to win a share of the prize pool.
For PGA, Thrive has new contests each day of the tournaments, so don't sweat your golfers ruining your weekend by not making the cut.
Even better, you can win a lot of money. Thrive has awarded over $1.3 million in prizes since launching in 2018.
Use promo code FOUL20 when you sign up today and you'll receive an instant $20 bonus on your first deposit of $20 or more.
Download Thrive Fantasy on the App Store or Play Store by visiting their website at www.thrivefantasy.com
or hit the link in our description.
Sign up and hashtag prop up today.
All right, so moving on to our numbers series. This time we have 51 through 75. If you're an NFL fan, you're probably going to love this because we had a lot of NFL numbers on here. I did, at least.
Yeah.
The higher up you go, you know, it kind of tends to do that. But to kick this list off at number 51, I have two people. Dick Butkus for his legendary name and Ichiro Suzuki.
Yeah. Dude, fucking legends. I got both of those guys. Also, little known fact, Terry Crews, you know, the actor, he played for the Chargers for a bit and his number was 51.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
I don't know how long he played, but I saw that he played with the Chargers for like maybe six games or something like that. I don't think it was that much.
Yeah. And I'll have to look into that. Also random, if you've seen Tenet, the actor there, John David Washington, Denzel Washington's son, he was on the Rams practice squad as a running back for a little bit.
That's weird.
Yeah, really weird. But just thought I'd throw that out there. Next up, number 52, some more legends, Ray Lewis and CC Sabathia.
Yep, 100% agree with both of those. Ray Lewis, CC Sabathia, 52, no question. I don't think there's that many other noteworthy players at that.
Yeah, position. Plus Ray Lewis is kind of he's a big name himself.
Yeah.
53, Don Drysdale.
That's what I have to.
See, this is what happens when you get these higher numbers, man. But, I mean, these guys, they got to get shouted out anyway.
Yeah.
Number 54, this is actually a dishonorable mention. It's Brian Urlacher. He's not on good terms with his team right now. You know, so it's not just not a good look for Brian.
Yeah.
Number 55, Roy Hibbert. Oh, my God. Okay, look. This guy, at his peak, he was a good center. He was a great center. And then he had one of the biggest postseason meltdowns I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, literally, ironically, his teammate, Paul George, had one this year.
Yeah, it's just like, what the fuck? But, yeah, Roy Hibbert, he's out of the league.
For my 55, I had Junior Seau.
Yeah.
And I think Mutombo was 55 as well.
Yeah, not today. Not today. 56, Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah. I mean, no one embodies that number better than him. Like, when you think of 56, you think of him. When you think of 23, you think of MJ. It's like the same thing. Also, honorable mention for 56, Chris Dolman, a legendary Viking player, had to shout him out right there. 56.
Word. I like that. Next up, 57, we have Clay Matthews, who's just an absolute dog. I remember watching him play. He just was giving it his all every single game, and he never disappointed for me.
Yeah, he was pretty good. He's kind of tapering off right now, but he was pretty good. And then honorable mention, Johan Santana. He pitched for the Minnesota Twins. He was a really good pitcher. Probably, like, growing up, I really loved watching him play. It's kind of the same thing with Jose Barrios right now. But, yeah, Johan Santana.
Hell yeah. Next up, 58, Jonathan Papelbon. Yeah, you got to thank Jonathan Papelbon for his efforts in the Red Sox World Series. And it's just, I'm always going to remember the name just because it's so, like, kind of geek.
Yeah, that is pretty funny. I have Jack Lambert. He played for the Steelers back in, like, the 70s, early 80s, I believe. He's a fucking legend over there in Pittsburgh.
Word. That leads me into my pick for 59. I have Jack Ham. He's a Steelers legendary player. Plus, last name is Ham. I also had to Google image him, and he is really buff and built like a ham. So it's just totally fitting. I could not put him on here.
Yeah, I had Jack Ham too at 59.
Fuck yeah. So, 60. Otto Graham, he's a very, very old Browns quarterback. But this is when the Browns were like a name to be reckoned with. This was basically the last time the Browns were even worth mentioning.
Yeah,
that's just a really hard feat because no one's been able to do it since.
Yeah. Dude, Otto Graham is probably the best Browns quarterback ever. I mean, shit. Think about, like, he's way above that list. I don't know if y'all have seen the jersey where it's like 40 names. Like, the person has changed the name of the back of the jersey 40 times. That's how many quarterbacks they had in the 2000s and 2010s. So, Otto Graham, by far, the best athlete at 60 and the best Browns quarterback ever.
100%. Leading in 61, we have Josh Beckett, who was another legendary Red Sox World Series, piece right mm-hmm. there. Like, I'm not going to forget watching him in 2007 and that crazy comeback. But, yeah, my boy Josh Beckett.
Yeah, I had Josh Beckett as well. He won the MVP in the World Series when he pitched for the Marlins before he went to the Red Sox. So, yeah, Josh Beckett.
Yeah. Next up, we got Jim Langer, who was the center on that 17-0 Dolphins team.
Yeah, I have that too. I have Jim Langer. I mean, he's a fucking goat, dude. Probably one of the best O-line ever. I mean, the 70s, that 16-0 team, like, dude, the Dolphins, Jim Langer, fucking legends at the time.
Right. I totally agree. And the next pick we have is Gene Upshaw. And this is a very serious pick because after he passed away in 2008, the players on the Raiders, they wore a patch with his number and the initials GU mm-hmm. on their jersey, and they also put that patch on the field.
Huh.
So, yeah, 63 and Gene Upshaw, they're just kind of intertwined, you know?
Yeah.
It's one of those kind of numbers.
That's a good one. I have Willie Lehner. He played for the Chiefs back in, like, the 80s, I believe, or 70s. He was the first African-American superstar at middle linebacker. So, yeah, Willie Lehner at 63.
Gotcha. Nice. I got 64 coming up here with Randall McDaniel.
Hell yeah.
The Vikings.
I got Randall McDaniel too. And little side note, I hate saying this, but Jerry Kramer, he's a Packers legend. He had the block in the Ice Bowl. Yeah, but still Randall McDaniel
for my opinion. Yeah. Next up, we got another Vikes player, Gary Zimmerman.
Hell yeah.
Coming in at number 65. Also played for the Broncos for a little bit.
Yeah, I got Gary Zimmerman as well.
Great, great career there. And we have 66, Mario Lemieux. And this is just reserved for him. I think it's the 66 right here.
Yeah, 100%. Whenever I think of 66, like, I think of Lemieux. Like, that man did so much shit. And, like, you know, like, he played for so long. Like, it feels like he played for so long. Like, it's crazy. Like, his name is up there with, like, the Gretzky's and stuff when you think of, like, at least for our generation. Like, when you think of, like, legendary players, you think of Mario Lemieux.
Right, and I know we talk about, like, what makes you great is kind of whether you can transition into today's game or not, and I still think if you threw Mario Lemieux out there today, he'd be a stud, and there's no question about it.
Yeah.
Next up, 67, you're going to get a kick out of this one. It's Taj Gibson, but he's on the Wolves.
Oh my fucking god. Dude. Shit. Oh my god. All right. I have Bob Kuchenberg. He was also on the O-line for the Dolphins back in the 70s. I just love his name. Kuchenberg. I believe that's how you pronounce it. If I'm pronouncing it, Bob, I'm sorry. But yeah, I love his name. And he played for the 16-0 Dolphins. So yeah.
Gotcha. I still think that Taj Gibson's a more worthy name, but that's just my opinion, you know? 68, Albert Pujols. It was my number 68 pick, and I actually saw him accidentally hit a crowd member at a spring training game one year, and I'm not going to forget that because it's the first time I saw it in person. Yeah, I mean, you hate when it happens at baseball games, but I mean, you always take the risk.
True. I'm glad that they started putting up netting, like, all around, at least in the front area, like in the bottom bowl. Like, I'm glad that they started doing that.
Yeah, they kind of need it.
Yeah,
you never know.
Yeah, for my 68, I have, I'm going to probably botch this, but Jermone Yagar. He played with Mario Lemieux. And he played for a long time in the NHL. He went overseas for a little bit. But after like 3 years overseas and not being in the NHL, he came back, signed with the Flyers, and played another year. Like, I'm pretty sure this man was like 38-39.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
That is for sure. Coming in 69, Jared Allen.
Dude, nobody embodies that number more than him. Dude, he's a fuck. Dude, I remember when he played for the Vikes and we'd have like Sunday night games. When you know, like when they introduced all the lineup and shit, he would say that he went to culinary school because he did. He went to culinary academy.
Yeah, yeah. He's the embodiment of geek, dude. His number is 69. He's like totally his meat. His workouts are probably super meat.
Yeah.
All right. And he's just really good too.
Yeah. And like I'm trying to think, like Brock Lesnar when he played for the Vikes, like I think he did like a few off seasons with them. Like he did like preseason and shit with them. I think it was only for like 1 year. His number was also 69.
Yeah, right.
That's pretty crazy that like Brock Lesnar like played in the NFL. But I mean, like a lot of WWE and shit like that have also. I mean, like Greg Hardy. Like now he's in the UFC kicking ass. So
true. I saw someone on the Cowboys Twitter saying they wanted Greg Hardy to come back to the team after that Week One loss, and damn. I was like, you don't want that. Keep him in the UFC. I like watching him fight.
Yeah.
Number 70, Rayfield Wright.
Yeah, speaking of the Cowboys.
Yeah.
That's what I got too, Rayfield Wright. I mean, dude, the Cowboys have a lot of solid numbers up here coming up, like in the 70s.
Yeah, the 70s are just kind of dominated by Cowboys players. Don't know what it is, but hell, you can't change it. So Rayfield Wright, number 70. 71, Walter Jones. You know, he played for the Cowboys. He was really good. Do you have another pick?
Yeah, I do. For 71, I have Vinny Malkin. I think he obviously is a Pittsburgh Penguin legend, you know, played with Sidney Crosby, and he's still playing right now, I believe, but he's coming towards the end of his career. Yeah, Malkin is my 71.
Nice. 72, I got two picks for this one, surprisingly. It's Ed Too Tall Jones, who's 6'9 on the Cowboys. Legend, of course, and Jason Capono on the Philadelphia 76ers. Complete flamethrower from three, if you ask me.
Dude, when he was on the Heat, oh my God. I remember fucking playing NBA Live 2008 with fucking KG on the cover.
Yeah.
Dude, he would always kick my ass in the three-point contest during All-Star weekend. Fuck Capono, man, but legend. I respect him, like, three-point-wise. He's up there, like, top five.
Yeah, he broke the three-point contest record.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that might still belong to him, but complete sharpshooter.
Who yeah, dude, for sure. I have Ed Too Tall Jones for my 72 as well.
Nice. I mean, your nickname is Too Tall. Like, I don't think that's a bad nickname at all.
It was pretty crazy. Like, he's 6'9". Like, I mean, at the time, that was pretty tall. But, like, now, like, think about it. Like, the offensive line, defensive line, they've all grown. Like, look at the fucking DeForest Buckner, dude. This man is like almost 7 feet tall. I swear to God. Every time I see him, I'm like, dude, this guy is tall as shit.
Like, I mean, people like to talk about LeBron playing, you know, offensive positions like tight end at 6'9". But like, if you swap LeBron with Too Tall Jones, I still think you're going to get a great productive player. You know, like people don't talk about that side of football enough with him.
Yeah.
You know, so that immediately that's what I thought of when I kind of researched him a little bit more. But 73, Larry Allen.
Yeah.
From the Cowboys.
Another Cowboys. Yeah. I mean, Larry Allen's like, I'm pretty sure he was on the offensive line. Like, this man was good.
Gotcha. Yeah. It's these Cowboys, man. And coming in at number 74, another Cowboy, Bob Lilly, who I actually went to TCU.
Damn. I got Marilyn Olson. He played with the Rams back in the 80s, I believe. He was pretty good. I mean, he's a legend over there. And wherever you want to say, St. Louis or Los Angeles, whatever you think.
Exactly. That's so weird to me. Like, if I'm in St. Louis, do I still cheer for the Rams? Like, what would happen?
I don't know. Like, I feel bad for teams that have to, like, at least for the Rams, like, they've relocated, in my opinion, more than any other team, like, in the NFL.
Yeah. They made more drastic changes, I guess, because the Raiders stay, like, in the same area pretty much. But, yeah, Number 75, this was my favorite pick of the entire thing. Joe Green.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, this guy is a legend down here in Texas, especially at our university, which is literally named after his ass. So it's pretty crazy. I mean, we all know, like, the Coca-Cola commercial, like, like that one with a little kid and shit. Like, he's just a legend, man.
Yeah. Joe Green, if there's no Joe Green, I really don't think UNT football would have much of an identity.
Yeah.
You know, he kind of was the founder of that, the pioneer for what UNT football would eventually become. So shout out to Mean Joe Green.
Yeah, I mean, shit, last year, and now they have a jersey that literally dedicates him. Like, it was a jersey that had, like, the exact same patterns and everything from when he played on North Texas' team.
Right.
And that one's probably the coolest jersey I've ever seen. Unbiased opinion.
Yeah, I might have to cop one if I ever have the funds for it.
Yeah, true. Yeah, well, that's all the time we have for the podcast. Thank you for listening. Subscribe to our podcast on whatever platform you're listening to us on so you never miss an episode. Follow us on Instagram at Intentionally Foul. Shout out of the week goes to our friends over at Bada Sports. Dude, go check those guys out. They're fucking hilarious. I love those guys. Go to our most recent Instagram post and share it to your story. And then maybe next week, you'll be the shout out of the week. And don't forget to tag us as well. I'm Jacob.
Cam.
And this has been Intentionally Foul Podcast. Bye.
Take it easy, y'all.